the mic. My name is Mike Goldman, and my guest today is the legendary Big Brother performer, if you will. And it rhymes with performer, none other than Tim Dormer.
I like that.
How you going, man?
Good.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I've been trying to get you on here for ages. I'm so excited to actually have you here
in
my room.
You might get rid of me now.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's good. I like that. So how you been, man? Everything good in your world? Congratulations on the engagement.
Good. Yeah. Everyone's barking at us. When are you going to get married? Do you know what? We got engaged before it was legal to get married, before there was even talk of a plebiscite. And so I was always like, like it'll be years before we're going to walk down the aisle together because legally we weren't able to. Then they bloody made it possible and now I've got to bloody do it.
Talk us through it because I read an article and I think just Chinese whispers, people telling me how you proposed. Was it in San Fran?
In the hippie
area?
And
you were singing, "Are you going to San Francisco?"
And yeah, flowers
in
our
hair. Old time.
We found out it was a gay nude beach.
Oh.
I didn't know that. But it was a beautiful sunset right next to the San Fran Bridge. What, we were watching a movie.
Dude, what is it with you and nude beaches? You've rocked up to my house now and you've come straight from the nude beach.
They'll think I'm a pervert that just hangs out at nude beaches.
Were you there by yourself with sunglasses and a newspaper up the back, or are you there with some friends, or what's the story?
I let it all hang out. I don't hide. Like, people have come up to me before on a nude beach and been like, "Are you Tim from Big Brother?" And it's like, "Well, what do you say?"
You look so much smaller on camera. In real life.
I just like getting out in nature and I'm a big believer in... I think there's nothing better than seeing a whole bunch of other human beings nude that makes you feel good about yourself in that, like, the body comes in all shapes and sizes and there's nothing more freeing than kind of stripping off. I don't know, like, our clothes might be a work uniform or a symbol of how much we earn, but when you're just a naked human with another naked human, I don't know, there's something very just, I don't know, natural.
I heard that you were quite popular at the nude beach because you could carry... 2 cups of coffee back from the shops and 6 donuts. Is that true?
How those would 6 feet? No, we're not. I probably couldn't know. And erections on the nude beach are bad. What? You don't
Have
want
you
an erection
one?
On the nude beach.
Have you seen one?
Oh, like, I mean, you get them. You just roll over.
No. Have you actually seen a dude walking along the nude beach with a stiffy?
Not like walking along, but you might see someone. They're not necessarily sexual. It might just be like a... spontaneous.
Like when you wake up in the morning and, I got a morning glory happening. You can have those at the beach if you've had a nap.
Yep, absolutely.
Anyway, back to San Fran.
Yeah.
You're at the nude beach and you just decided to get down on one knee. Well, you weren't nude though.
We weren't nude. Okay. We didn't know that was a nude beach. But we had, we were on this holiday and it was 2017, which was the 50th anniversary of the Summer of Love in 1967. And, like, we're big hippies, like, love that whole scene. And that whole counterculture movement where there was a time in the world where people were afraid of war, they were afraid of, like, ecological collapse. And, I mean, that's the same things now, 50 years later, we're still in that scene. Mm. And I just believe there's always that moment of revolution that could happen. Mm. Like, and in 1967, there was one in San Fran. That's where it was born out of. Mm. So we bought the rings on this street called Hayton Ashby Street, which is, like... Janis Joplin lived around the corner and it was a time where I think, I don't know, it was the birthplace of that movement.
Yeah.
And we just wanted to check it out and see.
And the village
it.
People too.
Yes.
YMCA.
Yes.
They have a Mardi Gras there, isn't it? The biggest one in the world or behind Australia?
I think they have like something called Pride Week, and there's a street called, suburb, the Castro. Which is, that was a lot of fun,
So what did you do? Did you get down on one knee and say, "Hey, you're the best thing ever, and I just want to marry you"?
Do you know what? This is an interesting convo to have with you, because I had planned to do it on Facebook Live. And I don't know, only because a lot of everything else in my life at the time, I felt like it was all about sharing with the people that were following.
Yeah.
And it just seemed natural for me to do that. And I thought, oh, my God, we're around the other side of the world on this holiday. It would be a really cool moment. And I think at the time Australia was talking about marriage equality, but there wasn't anything about the plebiscite.
Yeah. So you just thought, I'm going to keep this as a private moment between the two of us.
I did. I messaged a friend.
They weren't special. You know, it's the only two people that had that moment. And
yeah.
Now you're going to get married.
Yeah, we have to.
That's exciting.
Apparently.
Who's going to be your celebrant? I was thinking of studying.
Oh, you know, we've had so many people Greg Evans say that.
From Perfect Match, he's a celebrant.
Is he?
My mate Shura Taft. Yeah, the guy who hosted The Mole, he's a celebrant.
You have to have an officiate, no?
I think you can go to a courthouse and do it because it's legal now in Australia.
Yeah.
Well, and the funny thing is, I noticed when you came back from getting engaged, you decided to be at the forefront of the marriage debate. How was that for you?
It really struck home, I guess, literally because my family is quite conservative. So they weren't shy about saying that they were going to vote no.
Mm.
I never asked them, did they end up voting no? But there would be members of my immediate family that did vote no. And so we just felt really like, I don't know, all of a sudden, something that was really personal to us was being discussed by our own family and strangers around the country. I mean, we'd wake up and there'd be a headline that was equating gay parents to pedophilia, and it was just awful.
Yeah.
Like, it was just a time where I can say now I struggled with mental health for the whole sort of last half of that year, and it's only been in the last few months that I've kind of gone, now the dust is settled on all that, like, I don't feel like I have to fight anymore, but waking up every day and feeling that, I don't know. If it was going to be a no result, we were talking about leaving Australia. I know that sounds a bit dramatic. Well,
no,
but
it doesn't sound dramatic because, like, I'm a big supporter of the gay rights movement and gay marriage. I think if anyone wants to spend the rest of their life with someone, no matter what their sex, they should be allowed to. Not have some stinky old politician tell you that you can't do it. But I can understand where you're coming from, because I actually marched in the Mardi Gras.
Yeah,
it was the straight people celebrating marriage equality.
Oh, cool!
And we had to wear white as a big float. I actually went dressed as the Pope.
Yeah, right.
And I'm blessing people along the way because the Pope had actually got fired or he just quit for the first time ever. So I thought maybe I'd get the job. I'd go dress as the Pope, and people wanted me to marry them and stuff. But it wasn't legal back then. But I was talking to a lot of people then, and I was around when people. When they were actually deciding or announcing whether Australia voted yes or no. And some people said that if Australia votes no, then they'll be really depressed, really sad, and in some cases suicidal. But I think now that it's not a thing anymore and no one really cares about it, it's like people can do whatever they want, then there's no reason for people to be depressed about their sexuality as much.
Yeah, it's really empowering for young people, I think, to understand, like, whether they're LGBT or not, like, just any young person to know that marriage is marriage and it's inclusive of all. If there was going to be another name for it, for LGBT marriage, it's other than. It's separate to. It's just divisive. But this, under all one word of marriage, it now means that anyone grows up understanding that we are equal.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, what's annoying is when people take it so far the other way. I mean, you were saying there was a story about, you know, parents and pedophilia and gay marriage in the same sentence, but these crazy right-wing people who, you know, don't want gay marriage, and then they're so hell-bent on putting it in the same category as Nick. Next thing you know, you'll be able to marry your dog.
Yeah.
But that's all behind us now, which is good. But, you know, I just wondered what it was like for you, who was someone who was, you know, a trailblazer, who got, yep, we're going to get married, and came back to Australia, and you were part of the fight, and congratulations for helping it become a reality. Yeah. And think of all the people, you know, you said that, you know, you were spent a lot of your life being depressed about it, but think of all the people that you've actually helped, and you should feel really good about that.
Oh, thanks, Mike. I know there's people who have done the job long before us. Like, I call myself a baby gay. I've been out for, 2 years now? There's people that died before they could get married, and they were in love with their partner for so long. And I just think we're so... I just feel so privileged that we live in a
world... Did you feel like a weight came off your shoulders?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
And what would you say to, you know, someone, you know, 22-year-old kid who just hasn't told his friends or family and might have a boyfriend and just sort of doesn't really know how to go about it. What are the best steps for someone in that situation?
I mean,
because your parents didn't agree with gay marriage. A lot of your family didn't agree with marriage equality. So
I think it's such a personal thing, your journey through your own sexuality. Wherever you end up, you can't... really, but other people can give you advice and help you along the way, but it is something that you need to do yourself and in your own timing. And I'm really funny about feeling the pressure to come out and people putting pressure on others to come out. That's just so wrong.
Yeah, you don't have to.
Yeah, who cares? Don't even have to. Exactly. In this day and age.
If you want to keep it to yourself and what you do in the bedroom, who gives a stuff?
Just the terminology even of coming out. It's as if you have to, I don't know, like confess something that is wrong or that is going to make people react differently towards you. It shouldn't. We should, as a culture, as a species, start understanding now that the way we react about things and the way that we see people react about things. I don't know if you've seen that movie, Love, Simon. Jennifer Garner's the mum, and she has a teenage son who comes out as gay to her.
No.
And he's expecting her to just disown them, or he's expecting her to be sad. Her response is just so joyful and celebrative. It's the first time I've actually seen a response like that on a movie or a TV show. And I go, yes, we need more of that where parents can see it modeled, that they don't have to react with shock or disgust. I think, I don't know, we're all learning, but what was the question? Back to your own timing. I think for me, my whole 20s, it just wasn't something that, I didn't wrestle with it. When I did Big Brother, people say, why didn't you come out when you were on Big Brother?
You didn't know.
I didn't know I was gay when I was on Big Brother. I was sitting with chicks. Boogs.
Or whatever.
It's a very complicated situation, sexuality, and some people like defining themselves under a label, and this is my crowd, this is my tribe. For me, I don't know. I found it hard to kind of describe it or limit it. So when I came out, I just said, I'm in love with a guy. Call me whatever
deal
you want.
Deal with it, everybody.
Yeah, deal with it.
I think the best thing, advice you could give to anyone out there that might be thinking, what am I going to do? Who am I going to turn to? I don't understand how I am or why am I this way, is just don't keep it inside. Speak to someone.
Yeah.
Speak to someone you trust. If you can't find someone that you trust, then maybe, you know, speak to some, you know, people online that might, you know, be in the same situation.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of chat groups and stuff and along those lines. Be careful of the people online. I'm not saying that you should trust them or anything like that, but, you know, you got to talk to people, probably the most important thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, don't feel as though you're alone, because that, and that's how I felt. I just did not feel like I could speak to anyone about it. But there are friends and support. There's charities out there for young people that you can just call up and chat to.
So how's Ash handling it? Is he enjoy being the hubby, wife? Who's the husband? Who's the wife?
Definitely the wife, and I'm such a bad housewife. I'm like a horny housewife that stays at home, and I know if I clean up the house, I get sex when he comes home from work. So I'm probably a husband's dream of a housewife. I burnt muffins the other day. I'm not a good cook. He is probably the husband. He works full time and he's like a labourer, so he's like up at 6 a.m.
Is he? I thought he was a male model. It's just you're both extremely good looking. I just assumed that you're models.
He's very good looking, but no, he shovels dirt and builds brick walls for a living. Yeah. But
where'd you meet?
Where did we meet? It was before Big Brother. I had a year where I was sleeping with both guys and girls, and he was one of them. It was just a random hookup. And then it was years after Big Brother, he messaged on Instagram and said, hey, I think we hooked up in a park once.
Oh. Do you still like girls?
Yeah.
Do you think you'd ever go back if it didn't work out?
Understand. It's so, if you want to see a case in weird, complicated sexuality, watch the season of Big Brother Canada that I did.
Yeah, came third.
Yeah, came third. But there was a chick on that we were a showmance. And, well, I mean, that was the storyline of the show. And I kept saying, no, I don't have feelings for her. I couldn't say I'm in love with a guy back home.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't out. And I thought about it. Do I come out on this show? I'm around the other side of the world on a reality TV show. It just wasn't right for my family.
When you mean showmance, did you get it on with her, or it was like an emotional, intellectual romance? You had a fling.
We made out a few times, and I mean, I'd get hard when we'd be cuddling on the couch out by the pool. Like, that was the confusing moment for me, because
For you? Well, really?
Do you know a fun fact? I never once masturbated in the Big Brother house, Australia or Canada. Kind of switched into this celibate.
I think it's a good move, because anyone who did, they thought, oh, it's pitch black in here.
Yeah, you've got white Goldman in the other room watching. Like,
here we are. Welcome back to Big Brother Up Late. Let's see what Timmy's up to. And you're just like, but you didn't.
You could hear it at night from the others.
Just a little bit of that.
Oh, Dave. I was like,
sorry.
But yeah, no,
that's a good thing you didn't do that because, you know, you just hold it in. It's only
I think it actually helped my game in that you're sort of switching off this part of your body. I would never recommend anyone doing it in the real world, or maybe it is good to go for a break, but like turning off your sexuality in a way that you kind of...
Well, if your body needs to get it out, you'll just have a wet dream.
Yeah, true.
And that's even funnier for us to watch. That never happened. I don't know. It might have happened to me once.
It happened to me in Big Brother Australia.
And what, you had a wet dream?
And I was not wearing my pajamas. I was wearing Drew's pajamas. It was...
You had a wet dream in someone else's pajamas. This is a revelation. We never heard about this when the show was happening.
Now that I'm like seeing a guy, that bromance that I have with Drew, and Tully used to sleep in the bed as well. Yeah. Like, because it was me and Drew sharing a double bed and she'd sleep in between us.
Who are you attracted to more, Drew or Tully?
I was never attracted to Drew.
Oh, like, what's wrong with you? Honestly, he's a great looking guy. He looked like Keanu Reeves in his prime.
But Mike, that's the question that gay people hate being asked, is that I'm not attracted to every single male just because I like some
You're
males.
Not just a randy puppy that's having a go at everything.
No, like Drew was a mate. Like honestly, he was like the same way I think about like high school straight best friends or like I've got straight mates now that I would never even...
Anyway, I do want to make you coming on this show all about you coming out and getting engaged and going to get married and all that kind of stuff. We talked about it a bit more than I thought we were going to, actually.
Breeding. Do you want to talk about dog breeding? Because the dog's on heat.
We could talk about absolutely anything you want, my friend. We can talk about dog breeding.
Okay, well,
we could talk
about this dilemma. Yeah. Do I breed? Because everyone's all about rescue dogs and it's lovely.
Yeah.
But I don't want a rescue dog.
Dude, you've got to understand, and I'm an ambassador for the RSPCA and the Animal Welfare League of Queensland. You've got to understand there are thousands of dogs literally being put down every day, and cats and kittens and guinea pigs and mice. And if you want a pet, you do not need to go to a pet store. At least make that your first point of call before you go to a pet store. Just go to the RSPCA, go to the Animal Welfare League. They've got photos as well online, so you can check them out before you go.
I've got a few arguments against this because I've had my... They're French Bulldogs, so they're purebred. They cost way too much money. But throughout the years since I got, Meatloaf's four now, I've copped a bit of shit off people online saying, why didn't you adopt?
You see the photo of the mum? Did they show you a photo of the mum?
And asked to see the mum out the back.
They didn't. The mum was all right, looked after. Because I think that's one of the main things you have to do. If you're going to go to those lengths, you've got to make sure that
a reputable breeder.
The mum's not, stuck in a tiny little doghouse with no room to move.
Puppies.
They're just artificially inseminating it. But
absolutely.
That sounds like it was
legitimate.
And that's
not what I'm going to do. Like, I think we'll have one litter. I've got a male and a female, and we just want one. But this is what I say to people. Okay, I can't make a baby on my own. I can't. But there's so many babies around the world that need homes. And all these other people are making babies. Why don't they go and adopt a baby? Don't tell me where to get my dog from. I won't tell you where to get your kids from. It's horrible that there are unwanted pets in the world.
So you're saying that some people might just adopt a black baby rather than because they think they're cute, and they should. I mean, what are you getting at here? I'm confused.
I'm just saying, it's for me, it's not the horror of the world that there's unwanted pets. I think as humans, as a species, we need to stop breeding.
Yeah.
That's how we'll save
the planet.
You think
there's too many humans?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And thinking about marriage and our future, would we have kids? It does play a big, I don't know.
If you want a French bulldog, you should just be able to go and get a French bulldog if you want. It doesn't matter that there's other dogs.
I hate shaming. I really hate shaming people. If they're ignorant, yes. Try and
You agree it could be your first step before going and getting a French bulldog. Just go and have a look.
We can't be getting down this. If we weren't recording, I probably would say other things.
You can say whatever you want.
There's a lot of dogs in that people rescue and think that they're doing the right thing. And they'll bring them back to an apartment and think that, and they'll put it all over Instagram. They might even put up an Instagram page for their rescue dog. I know two friends that have done this.
Yeah.
And it's because it's a fad. It's seen as cool. You think, you're making a difference to rescue a dog.
It's not a fad. People have been getting rescue dogs since the 50s.
Yeah, but since social media came around and Instagram.
Because you just know about it more.
Trendy and people in Bondi are doing it.
Are you kidding me? For a walk down Bondi, you see about 20 French bulldogs.
Yeah.
Everyone's got the same cute little pet.
They can afford it, yeah.
Because it's so expensive.
Well, where I'm getting at is...
Come around here, get in front of the mic. You might even have to chuck a spread like me.
I know people who have now dumped rescue dogs again because they didn't research the breed.
Yeah.
They didn't understand that they were getting a working dog, like a cattle dog or a mastiff or a Great Dane. I don't know what the RSPCA is doing to give out these dogs to these people that live in apartments. But
yeah, you got to figure out if you've got land for a dog or like a backyard.
I didn't walk past a pet shop and see a French bulldog in the shop window and go, how cute, I want one.
Yeah.
I researched for years. Yeah. I found the breeder. I went on a waiting list to get one.
Mm.
And I would pay anything it costs to make sure that they're healthy and well.
Mm.
The whole rescue a dog, save a life is creating pet owners that I don't think are ready.
Don't want to be pet owners.
They want an
Instagram. So what you say is wellness dog. People want to get a dog, they need to research.
I'm getting so much
research the actual breed that they want to get, and then find the breeder and go and get it.
It's a big decision whether it's a rescue dog or a dog from a breeder that you really,
before you take it from the RSPCA, make sure you know what breed it is, and it's okay for
you. Because
you
think
apartment.
You're doing something good for the world. Don't get a rescue dog because you think that it's a good thing to do, and there's so many rescue dogs that need homes. Ask yourself first. Am I going to make a good pet owner?
Mm. But you love animals. I mean, you had this amazing friendship with the Australia Zoo guys. You talked about it all the time when you're on Big Brother.
Yeah.
And you always wanted to meet Bindi Irwin. You finally got to meet her. You've worked with her before.
Gosh, there was a headline that I was Terry's toy boy at some stage. It was a weird little
Were you?
No. Oh, hell no. 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 And I'm like, how inappropriate when I used to joke about I had a crush on Bindi. I really do.
That's okay now because she's like, what, is she 21 now or something?
Yeah, but I think at the time she was 17 or something. I don't know. But I think she is a really inspirational young person. And what she's been through in her life and what she represents, there's so many young people that we need people like that that are not, I don't know, the Disney franchise sort of pin-up young person. I don't know. There's not many people like her in the world, I don't think.
So didn't you go wrestling crocodiles up in the Northern Territory recently?
Oh, no. It was probably about 2-3 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was... Oh, every year the Irwins go and do it. It's something that Steve did. Even before he was the croc hunter, Steve was like... this guy that would go out and catch problem crocs on properties. And instead of shooting them, he was big on, no, we can relocate them. Because they used to just shoot them all. And so that's basically how Australia Zoo was built. But every year now, the family and a research team from Queensland University, they still go out and catch wild crocs and tag them. Because there's a bit of I don't think they'd see it as a problem, but the Australian government sees it as a problem where there's... In areas, there's too many crocs now as far as they're concerned because what happened before they were protected, they were just all shot. But now that since they were protected,
they
started growing bigger. Like they're reaching the size that they were before they were all killed.
And it's a problem.
Yeah, well, up near Darwin, around Cairns, where they claim to be croc-free cities, the more crocs you have, the more they're going to move in and
they're,
sort of
they're coming further and further down the coast.
Yep.
Like they're spotting them in Cairns, like near the main streets. I think there's
say Brisbane within a few years.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Well, think about global warming. I studied a Bachelor of Science at uni, and I remember my teacher this 10 years ago said, like sort of by 2030, she said, Sydney will likely see species from up north. Whether that's in the oceans or...
Yeah, you know, they've said so much stuff about global warming over the years that hasn't come true. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look at the temperatures and look at the Arctic Circle and how it, you know, they're saying that it's melting when it actually hasn't. It's actually growing more. There's so many scientists that say one way or the other.
It's just...
Come on, you studied it. Educate me so you know.
There is science that disproves it.
Mm. But there's some the other way as well.
This is the thing.
There's both
this
sides.
This is the problem with the muddying of the waters, that people who don't know how to find a scientific journal where it's tested and it's, and you can check who funded the research. That's the other thing. You've got to check who funds research.
Yeah.
These days, science means nothing. Mm. Nobody believes in science anymore because the waters have been muddied and we
so
don't
much
know
fake
what's
news.
Real. Exactly. It's
what's really
fake
going
news.
On? Who do we believe? What scientist is telling the truth?
I think it's obvious that you only have to look at habitat destruction. The amount of space that our species has spread over the last 200 years. They say we follow the same pattern as the spread of a virus. And that our species,
what?
We just use the resources of where we live until they're gone and then we go somewhere else. We have no concept of sustainability.
There's got to be a positive in not polluting the atmosphere as much and, you know, not putting plastic into the ocean.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been to a lot of Asian countries like Indonesia and the beaches are horrible
they're
now.
Horrible.
And I remember like it was only 20 years ago, they were beautiful.
It's sad. I actually don't think we can change it. And that's something I've come to in the last year.
You think it's done?
It's awful because we should be we should speak messages of hope and every small change is something beneficial. But while, and this goes back to the shaming as well, I just really hate people shaming the whole plastic bag saga and the plastic straws. Mm. If you don't care about the environment or you don't understand...
Mm.
Or you don't have the money to spend for a more greener option.
Hmm.
I hate it when people shame those type of people because it's not going to change anything.
Hmm. What is the way to do it then? Like, what do you just show them
down
how
the government
make it illegal to have straws?
No,
make it illegal to have plastic bags. I mean, Coles had them on the ship.
It is not the individuals that are ruining the planet. It's not the rubbish of one individual that's going to cause ecological collapse. It's multinational companies who are tax-free destroying our planet with fossil fuels and the government letting them do it because it's profitable for countries to do that. That's what's going to kill the world, not an individual using a plastic straw. So I think us as a species need to grassroots rise up and take down the system that's going to kill us. But we won't because we're all ants.
In summary, we're all ants. We're spreading like a virus. We need to stop breeding, but we can breed lots of dogs and have the dog we want. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yep. That's kind of it. I don't know. I'm all about like doing your research and not being ignorant and trying to make a positive difference in the world.
Mm.
But we're not going to change the world by shaming, by pointing the finger at people. Because it's not the individual.
But what about shaming the petrol companies? And what about shaming the mines? I mean, you've got to shame them because, you know, I was just at the Peter Allen Festival recently and I was talking to a few country folk.
Yeah.
And they're all worried about fracking and a lot of them worried about mining.
Yep.
And I met Barnaby Joyce up there as well, who, you know, the controversial member of the National Party. Lovely chap.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, he hooked up with his secretary and they got a baby. I
who
met
cares?
His secretary.
Stop sex shaming.
I met the kid.
Okay, he had a wife.
The drama there was, okay, fair enough. He was against gay marriage. He was all about the sanctity of the family. But,
but
marriages fall apart and it just gave people more reason to crucify him for you know, hooking up with someone else and having a baby, but they're really happy. And I'll tell you what, he is really loved out there in the country because he's done some amazing things. But the point I was leading to is they're worried about fracking, they're worried about the big mining companies, big petro companies going through those areas and just wrecking their land. And there's stories of, you know, having the people overseeing, you know, different fracking areas and mining sites. When they leave, as soon as they leave, they, you know, change it and they turn the water off and they start messing with the land. And and there needs to be constant eyes on any of those big companies because all they care about is profits.
And
they do not give it a shit
deals
about
with the
us.
Government.
Yeah.
Handshakes. The
do you know what?
Great Barrier Reef is sold.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to find out is what's happened up there over the next few years.
We'll find out
and
in 10 years.
We all were just quiet. Yeah. We didn't know. It's so
But it's because Australians don't go out and protest like other countries. I think it comes from a mindset of like, oh, we're all convicts, we're sent here as prisoners, you know, I'll look at the bad boys going out and doing naughty things and cheering them on. But when it comes to laws and things happening in this country that we can't change, we just go, oh, well, it's the government, you know, we voted them in. And there's sort of like a shrug your shoulders and she'll be right, mate approach. And we need to get out there and contact the local member and say, I'm not happy with this. This is a crock of shit. How come you're mining here? How come you're building a railway and giving $3 billion to an Indian company, Adani? You know, everyone's complaining about stopping Adani, that at the moment.
Yeah.
And people need to get more involved here rather than going, oh, whatever.
I went to a protest recently in the hills of Nimbin. They were worried about a Wi-Fi tower being brought in. And it was a big multinational.
Nimbin, they'll protest about it.
Yeah. And we sat there and someone pulled out some hummus, like a bowl of hummus, the biggest one I've ever seen in my life. And we just sat on the ground and ate hummus for a couple of hours.
And 3 days later, you don't know where it went or what was in the hummus.
And apparently bunya pine. Like you can make, you know, bunya pines, like the really tall tree. Mm. The nuts, it's the biggest nut in the world, this bunya pine. And if you find one, you can crush up the seeds and make hummus.
What?
Yeah, if you serious? Get pine nuts. Is that what hummus? No, chickpeas.
Chickpeas, yeah. Well, yeah, but it tastes great. It was nice, was it?
It was delicious.
Right, and they didn't put anything in it?
No wacky tobacco.
Right. What do you think of the whole legalizing marijuana thing here? Oh. Because in America, it's legal. In so many other countries around the world, and especially medicinal marijuana, like CBD oil, which can help people with cancer. My dad's got cancer, and he really needs that stuff right now. Yeah. He's got headaches, and it eases the pain, and he's about to start another radiation treatment on Monday. And it's ridiculous that you can't get access to this, and it's just because of all government red tape, and there's big pharmaceutical companies that want the rights to do it, and it's not fair.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's about money, and it's about taxing it. The evidence is there that marijuana is far less harmful than a drug like alcohol, which is so acceptable in our community and our culture. Australian culture is. Like hesitant to say I have smoked marijuana in the past. I think that there are kind of grey areas about some people are psychologically susceptible. For me, it's not great. Like I'm not good with weed.
Not good, like you get paranoid or something? But there's certain types of medicinal marijuana that have the THC taken out so you don't get that trippy feeling.
Yeah. Where it's no hallucination at all. But I just think it's been shown in, you know, like European countries where you legalize something, it suddenly takes away the criminal sort of market of that drug.
Takes away people getting shot and people breaking the law and doing the wrong thing. But I mean, in America, there's still people in jail who are dealing in weed, and now weed's legal. I mean, do you let those people out?
We
definitely need to address it, and we need to make it legal in this country, because it's not like ICE where you're gonna, you know, go running down the street in the nude and have a punch up with someone, or, you know, or speed or heroin or anything like that that really messes people's lives out. I mean, I don't know anyone that's over. I've never read a story about someone ODing on marijuana. No,
there's never been a recorded case of someone ODing and dying.
I'm pretty sure
marijuana.
It's just the big pharmaceutical companies stopping it. And we were talking before about, you know, politicians doing backdoor deals. Why do we have lobbyists? Like, lobbyists are just people that go in and say, how much do you want for your campaign? So you let this get through. How much do you want for your campaign? So you let this happen. Like, we've got to make that illegal.
Yeah,
don't you think?
Actually, that's a good point.
Why don't a lobbyist go in and say, you know what, I'm representing Winnie Blues.
Yeah.
We're going to donate, you know, $10 million to cancer research or something, or just, you know, somewhere to help the community.
It's very topical at the moment in terms of the business relationships that our leaders have, and Peter Dutton is now maybe going to be hauled in before the High Court because he owns some childcare companies.
Let's get that straight. Like, that has happened for a long time with Peter Dutton, and the reason why he's getting hauled into court is because Malcolm Turnbull said, all right, fuck you, I'm going
to
make sure
he
I've got...
He turned a blind eye.
He would have been Spacey in House of Cards. He would have just said, right, here comes the file on Dutton. I'm just going to send it out to everyone, all my friends in the media, and Dutton, you are done and dusted, because it's all a game.
Well,
it's absolutely a game, and there's probably more stuff that's going to come out about
it. That's what should be transparent is the business and the backdoor handshakes. I don't care. But that was always out in the open. I don't care their citizenship.
Yeah.
That whole but that's drama.
The thing. That citizenship thing is a crock of shit as well. Yes. And all that was done is because I want the power and I don't want you to have the power. And every single, pretty much every single person who lost their job due to citizenship has come back. They've had another election and they've got in with more votes. Barnaby Joyce got 75% of the vote when he went back, sorted out his citizenship and came back. He's more popular than ever.
Yeah.
Jackie Lambie in Tasmania, like she's coming back. And she's got more people that are fans of her now than before just because Malcolm Turnbull or some political dick decided, oh, I'm going to get one up on you. And I mean, I'm not a fan of Pauline Hanson or anything like that, but they put that girl in jail because of someone's accounting misconceptions that happened behind the scenes. And she came back even stronger and more powerful.
You're right. It is a game. I think it is.
They're going to stop the stupid games. But I still think
it'll always be though. That's how we run our species. It's a power.
It is. But I mean, people say, oh, we need a different system of government. We need anarchy. But the system of government is good. We know it's corrupt. It's still got organisations running separate to the government that are funded by the Australian government that oversee all of the things that go on.
Yeah.
And you have to make sure that those things are in place to stop the corruption happening so much.
Yeah. Oh, 100% agree.
Look at us getting all political.
We can hold a political conversation, Mike.
Yeah, we're not even drunk.
That would be a good one. No, it's like that Drunk History show. That's a great show, isn't it?
Oh, man, I was going to get on Drunk History. They called me up and said, hey, do you want to be on it? I'm like, yes. I love talking about things that I don't know anything about when I'm drunk. Absolutely. I'm not drunk right now. But they ended up using a couple other people. And it only rated like 200,000. So clearly you used the wrong people again, Channel 10. What did you think of the pilot week that Channel 10 did?
I didn't catch too much, but I did get asked if I wanted to be on Kyle's show. Like if I had any a case that might be suitable for... What's it called? Trial by Kyle? Yeah. Oh, they asked you.
I had someone who wanted to take me to court in it.
Oh, you were going to be the defendant?
So I interviewed this girl and it was probably the most boring interview I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
And I decided I didn't want to play it because I didn't think anyone would want to see it. And she wanted to take me to trial by Kyle to challenge me to play the interview. She sat there and just gave me yes and no answers. It was boring as fuck.
Yeah. Oh, I thought about it, but I was in... They would say, oh, any neighbourly disputes. And I actually have a crazy neighbour from Bondi. Like one of the reasons why we left Bondi. Yeah.
Why? What was wrong? Too many loud parties?
Oh, no. Oh, how would I even begin to describe this story? No, I won't. I don't even know why I brought it up.
Yeah, you had a crazy neighbour and
she thinks she's a mermaid, like a living mermaid. Like,
is that the Bondi mermaid online? Oh, I've heard about her.
Yes.
What's her story?
Oh, I don't want to go on tape talking about her. We used to be best friends. We used to be like really good friends. And then she turned a bit nasty. I think we lived in the same building as her. And I think she had cottoned on that Ash and I were together.
Yeah.
And she didn't like that. And she used to say awful things out the front of the apartment.
Maybe she had the hots for you.
Maybe she
wanted
you
to be her merman.
Maybe she did. Look, I've always loved mermaids and she fascinated me. And I really like people who kind of are a little bit outsiders. And she's a bit of a misfit.
What would you go to court with her over? On trial by Kyle.
So she stole my mermaid fins.
What?
Like I have these mermaid fins and I said she could borrow them and she never gave them back. And then she was claiming that they were hers.
What?
I know.
Are you serious? That would have been great on the show. Has that show been on yet?
Yeah, well, it was... Pilot Week and Skye Wheatley, the one Big Brother after my season.
She didn't like
her
boobs.
Job, Which
she had a bit of surgery, hasn't she? She had a nose job, boob job. She was perfect before. I don't know why she decided she needed to do anything.
She's an interesting one. I don't know her very well, but I don't even know where I'm going with this.
You don't know her very well, but you don't think she needed to get all that work done like she did.
Oh, I don't know if she knows herself very well. or she's just doing that...
To get attention.
No, she's just doing that influencer thing really well.
Mm.
Like, and will sell anything, even her soul, if someone's paying. It was weird. When I came out, there was an article and they said... The headline was, What Skye Wheatley Thinks About Tim Coming Out. I'd never met her.
Really?
And she said, oh, he's my friend and I'm so happy for you.
The journalist probably thought that she was in the same year as you as Big Brother or something like that.
No, I think she...
think she knows you because you're on social media as well and you got a lot of followers. What's the most ridiculous social media ad that you've said, all right, pay me the money and I'll do that on my Instagram?
Oh, I'll tell you some things I have turned. I turned down a betting one. Like it was a Greyhounds betting or...
I did a betting one.
Did you?
Yeah. I had an Australia tracksuit. And I was wearing it on my Instagram. Someone messaged me and said, hey, if you go down to the TAB and pretend you're putting a bet on for the World Cup, Soccer World Cup, they'll pay you some money. And I went, well, I haven't got a lot of work on this week. Oh, and the TAB's across the road. Let's give it a crack. So I went over there and I put the ticket in my hands and started doing this. And they paid.
Well, what about the Dogs?
I wasn't betting on the soccer. It's sports bet.
Sports bet, okay. Yeah.
But you didn't do the greyhound thing.
Yeah, and I thought, okay, what else have you been offered? Support that.
Because aren't you a soap ambassador or something?
Oh, the Body Shop. The Body Shop Australia. And I mean, they're in line with it. They work with me, I guess, because of the conservation environmental angle as well.
Have you got your own Tim Dormer soap?
No, I should.
No one can rub Tim Dormer on their balls?
Oh, my God. Would you? Would you want to? That's what's funny. A lot of people ask, oh, tell me what product you use for your hair. Yeah. I wish there was one. Like, I wish I could market that. It's just water.
I don't wash it.
With these pubes. Yeah,
Are you seriously?
I'd probably shampoo once every 2 weeks.
Can I smell it?
Go for it. It actually smells pretty all right at the moment. Okay, you got right in there. It's probably got that like that oily skin.
Smells good.
Sounds good. Yep.
So what products are you going to bring out with the Body Shop?
No. I think they...
What do they get you to do? Do you post photos of yourself in the bath just lathering yourself up with ash?
No, it's not lathering. Okay. Life of an influencer. Today, I took a I had to take a photo, which I'll email to them tomorrow to get approved, and then I'll post it, I think, this weekend. And it's just their hemp hand cream where...
Oh, we're talking about hemp
hemp.
Marijuana products before.
And they're doing a great thing. 10% of all the sales of this limited edition hemp hand cream will go towards getting habitat for koalas near Noosa. What's happening with koalas up in northern Queensland? Mm. Because of all the habitat destruction, it's kind of like little pockets of populations, like little communities, and they can't mix with each other. So what it's all about is this thing called bio bridges, which is basically just buying land so an animal can travel through it mate and then repopulate the area.
Oh, so they're going to build a bridge?
Well, buy land, which bridges those sort of...
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Well, it's good that you're picking and choosing what you think is right and suits your brand. Because you've got fans out there who love you since Big Brother. I spoke to people who watched you when you were doing Big Brother in Canada and Celebrity Apprentice, where you came third on that as well.
Second, sorry.
And they love seeing everything that you're doing, but if you did something that just didn't really fit, like
I do get it wrong, and people say, "Oh, this is a bit of an ad, Tim. You're selling."
When did you get it wrong? Do you do an alcohol brand or?
I do sometimes do alcohol brands, but I do drink.
A dating site.
Technology I don't do very often, and gaming.
Like Tinder.
No, I was on Tinder's. Float for Mardi Gras.
Oh, you were.
I have a Tinder profile.
Oh, you have a Tinder profile.
Yeah.
Hey, hang on a minute. You're married. Oh, you're getting married.
Look,
Tinder. How can you have a Tinder profile when you're engaged?
Networking.
Oh, okay. So is Tinder become a networking thing now?
Yeah. So, professionals.
But all these people there think they're going to get laid. And then all of a sudden, you're one of the people that goes, so, have you got any work for me? Are you serious?
Look.
Hello, I've got some work for you. Not that kind of work, Tim.
My mouth shut. I've been gagged on this whole Tinder thing. There was a Daily Mail article and it's just not good.
I know. You're a part of Tinder because, you know, it's a dating app and your online dating thing's exploded. It's great. And you're promoting marriage equality at the same time in your new relationship. You're on the Tinder float at the Mardi Gras and someone's gone, oh, look, he's getting out there and sleeping with lots of people. But, you know, people just wanted clickbait for a story, and especially the Daily Mail. They love the clickbait.
Yes, yeah. And what happened was it was a sensationalist headline that isn't true, that I don't organise orgies for me and my partner on Tinder. But... It kind of got me fired up.
It's private invitation only, by the way.
Like, what is with shaming couples who may not want to go down the monogamy route?
Yeah, exactly. Who cares? If people want to do that, good on them. Like, there's another website called Red Hot Pie. You heard of that?
No.
Whoops. I've never been there. I probably shouldn't have brought it up. No, but I got a friend and his wife, and they're on. They apparently Red Hot Pie is for couples who want to get on and find people who want to get on.
The one that we should be on then. So many of my friends have met their partners on social media or dating apps, whatever you call them, whether that's Tinder, Grindr, whatever.
Mm.
And I don't know. There's still a bit of a shaming towards people that may.
Mm.
Do people meet in bars anymore? Do people meet at the grocery store anymore? Like,
did you ever actually use Tinder when you were single, or
no,
Bumble, or
no,
Tingle, or
yeah,
Beepy, or whatever they're called?
No.
No, none of them.
I don't think I'd survive if I was single.
I got these friends who just use Instagram.
Oh yeah,
they just hey, how you doing? Just send them a little message, and actually, I got this friend of mine. I won't mention her name, but she's like a bikini girl. She's got hundreds of thousands of followers on Instagram. And I said, "So do you get guys hitting you up like it's a dating app?" She goes, "Do you want to fucking look?" Showed me her phone, and she had like 30 or 40 blokes from all over the world saying, "Hey, what's going on?" And like having full page conversations, but she's didn't even reply to.
Yeah.
There's some crazies out there.
Yeah.
So the whole influencer thing and the day in the life of the influencer, which you just mentioned, you've got some trips coming up, or you've done some overseas stuff. And that sort of fits in with your getaway episode that you hosted as well. So is like a travel show a thing that's going to happen sort of spun off the back of your influencer profile? I mean, I hate using the term influencer because to me, it just means someone who might be promoting a product and influencing everyone. Where you know, an influencer role should just be that, but there should be people online who actually have something interesting to say. They have something interesting to show you, and you're someone who I would rather watch go to another country. So I go, oh, he's going to talk to the people. He's going to see what they're like. He's going to go to good restaurants.
And
he's going to tell some funny stories. Whereas you know, you're not just going to do some half naked photos on the beach. Well, hopefully you do those as well.
Yeah. And I guess that's what I've tried to do always with my social media, was that it was just a little bonus prize of the reality show in 2013. Before the year before that, they didn't get the numbers that we all got. And then the year after, I got even like way more. Like, it just exploded the year that we did it. And it's now become a business. And I just kind of went, oh, you know what? Like, these are everyday people that I'm just sort of sharing my life with. If I get a cool product or a cool experience that I'm sharing with them, it's not I'm trying to influence them to buy it.
Hey, people are going to travel, and you're going to make a living, and you're lucky enough to be able to do two things at the same time.
Well, it's more just like I'm sharing the ride with them, and yeah, I guess it is about making conscious choices about what I do advertise. But that is the dream, is that I can just do whatever I want and create content through my social media that I don't have to worry about working with paid posts or anything like that. But I don't know. I think it's been 5 years since I did Big Brother. It's been a long journey. And personally, especially last year, I wasn't in the mood to kind of put my life out there on social media too much.
Like, but you have now. And I think Instagram started after you were on Big Brother, didn't it?
No, it was during.
So you sort of rode off the back of that. And
yeah.
I mean, your Facebook thing's huge as well. Is there anyone that you follow online that you really like, or like a favorite Instagram profile? Mine is Look at This Russian. And some of the stuff on there is absolutely hilarious.
What
you
is
get a
it?
Chance to have a look at that. It's just all these crazy Russian
everyday
people
Russian
doing
people.
Random. Like, like a big fat dude riding along on a quad bike in the nude, and then he falls down a hill and rolls along on top of him, and he gets up and he's okay.
Like
just random, really loose Russian shit. It's hilarious.
Well,
you got any favorites that you look at?
I used to follow no one, and then I got in trouble with my manager and my boyfriend, and like, well, my phone's dead. But I hate it. It's so bad that I...
Really?
I don't expect anyone to follow me. Mm. I don't go out there and say, click follow, follow me, follow me, follow me.
Do you talk to your fans?
Yeah, all the time. And I'm not interested in seeing what my peers are doing. And I know myself, it puts me in a funny headspace.
Because you only follow like 4 people or something.
Yeah, yeah. And it used to be 0. Mm. And I was sick of it getting clogged up. I followed Kyle Sandilands' girlfriend, Imogen, because I think she's fucking cool. But I just kept seeing photos of Imogen every morning. It'd just be like Imogen on my phone because she was posting so much. It was just kind of like, I don't know her personally, but I just see everything that she's doing. And I went, this isn't normal. Mm. And then I'm like, well, like, I should take photos like that. It's the leap of when you go, like, comparing what you do to what they do.
Just run your own race.
Run your own race. You do you. So I think I follow, my favorite one is sharks at the moment. It's all these, like, just shark
Yeah, I
pictures.
Saw that. Is it because you love sharks or something? Or
Yeah, I kind of like sharks. Yeah, I'd love to swim with
them. Isn't it a funny name, shark? Like, whoever named it? It's like shit and fark at the same
like
time.
It's like an onomatopoeia. Shark! It's an onomatopoeia, like a chuck. Yeah, it's when the word sounds like what it is. Mm. Like you'd imagine a shark be like, shark!
So like you ever dive with the sharks?
No, I never have. Always wanted to.
You have to get down to South Australia.
Yes.
I'm going to hook Port you up
Augusta,
with Rodney Fox.
It?
Yeah,
Port Augusta. You know Rodney Fox?
I know Rodney Fox, Shark Adventures. And it is one of the most amazing things I've ever done in my life.
He's a legend.
What we're
going to
do, like, I'm going to send you down there with a friend of mine. She's one of the best underwater photographers in the world. Her name's Jane Jenkins.
That's the dream.
Dude, it's the dream. It's happening. I'm organizing it as we speak.
I would swim outside the cage, though.
Like, no,
I, and
you don't
I'm not
do
just being brave.
They might make a mistake, like, and just go, yum, there you go.
Who cares? I'd rather die of that.
Maybe I'm not going to send you to do the Rodney Fox shark experience, but like these guys are amazing. Not just because they take you on these incredible shark adventures, but they're actually a part of shark conservation.
Yes,
they
they
Rodney
tag
Fox, sharks.
Yeah,
and so they know where all the main sharks are around there. And I remember when I went down there, I got in the cage for the first time, and they don't just drop the cage off the back of the boat. They have a crane, and it lowers the cage down onto the bottom of the ocean. So you're sitting there in this cage and you're looking up and you're watching all these massive sharks the size of a minivan swim around
you.
So you
saw sharks,
one time we thought there was just one shark.
Yeah.
And this other guy, I think he was a builder or something like that, he was leaning out, his arms outside the cage, and he's taking a photo.
Yeah.
And the shark's, its head's sort of past him, so it's okay to do that. And then I've turned my head that way and I've gone, another shark swimming just for his arm. And I've grabbed his air tank and pulled him back. And he's looked at me and going, what the heck are you doing?
We're on the photo,
And I'm like, what the fuck is that? And he's like, oh, thank you.
Saved my arm.
When we got to the surface, he's like, thank you, you saved my arm. I go, yep. And he said, I'm a builder. I'll build you half a house.
Wow.
One arm.
That's a good story. Yeah. Gosh, yeah, that's on the to-do list.
Dude, we're going to hook it up. I'm going to come with you. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's like 10 years ago when I did it.
Yeah.
Why the bloody hell not?
I'd
I'm going to put some footage
again.
In. Actually, here it is right now. This is me shark diving with Rodney Fox off the Neptune Islands down off Port Augusta. It's amazing. So cool, dude. You're definitely going
to
do that.
I would love to.
You got your scuba diver's license?
No.
Okay, you got to do that first.
But we'll do that.
You need a scuba diver's license. It's easy to get.
Yeah,
you know, you can do it over a few weekends.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, you know what? I have to do a refresher as well.
There you
because
go.
My mum used to have the job at Marineland in Sydney, which is now Sydney Sea Life Aquarium in Manly, but I think it's closing down.
Yeah, I read that.
And she used to have a job to feed the sharks and do the
cool
seal show. So I used to go to St. Paul's in Manly, and I'd go and visit her and watch her feeding the sharks. And she took me out for the first time scuba diving. I got my license when I was like 13. I was like the youngest person ever to get it in Australia. But I needed a refresher because I haven't dived for so long and my license has expired. So let's get diving.
I've not done diving. I freak out with the... It's a bit like Darth Vader. It's a little bit claustrophobic or something.
Are you used to it? It's peaceful. It's like being on another planet.
Yeah.
I mean, you've snorkeled.
Yeah.
Yeah. People do have a problem with it if they're claustrophobic. I went cave diving in Mexico.
God,
and like Mexican, they don't give a shit if you haven't got a license or what. They're
no.
You dive before, you snorkel, you hold your breath in the bathtub. All right, let's go. Let's go, senor. And that is crazy.
Is that where you're crawling through like the little...
Like it's the size of this room, you're going through these caves and you can't go to the surface because it's like rock hard. It's not like a cave with open air.
Yeah.
It's like these are underwater tunnels that you're swimming through. And then you'd come up in an opening and it's like a inside of a volcano with a little hole at the top.
Yeah.
And you see we saw all these monkeys swinging around.
Oh, my God.
And then we went through some more tunnels and then came up and there were all these bats flying around the roof. One of the most amazing things I ever did in Tulum in Mexico. But, man, you got to get some scuba diving happening. It's amazing.
Gosh, you've done some cool things.
Actually, I'm going to get Valerie Taylor on the show soon. You know Valerie Taylor?
I do know Valerie. So, well, I don't know her, but she's an idol. Yes.
She's a legendary shark conservationist, shark diver. Yeah. She was known for putting on a chain metal wetsuit, putting fish in the wetsuit and letting sharks bite on it.
Yeah.
Crazy lady, but she's about 80.
Yeah.
And she's mad as a cut snake. So
I've watched lots of her docos, yeah.
Got to get her on and have a chat to her. How's your Pop Sugar podcast going? I was a guest on there. That was fun. You had Marion Farrelly, who's, you know, one of the best television producers in the world. Worked on Big Brother, The Big Breakfast in London with Paula Geldof Hutchins and Michael Hutchins. I think she was actually around working with him then. But she's an incredible person.
Oh, I loved her energy.
You've had some good guests. Did you have Alex Mavridakis on as well?
Yes, the EP of Big Brother. And he also does Love Island and I'm a Celeb.
His career's skyrocketed, hasn't it?
Yeah.
He tried to get me on as the voiceover guy for Love Island.
Oh, and he wouldn't do it?
And all of the people from the production company and people at Channel 9, but some asshole at Channel 9 decided that they wanted an Irish voice so they could sell it internationally.
Oh, right. Is that why they chose that voice?
Yeah. That would have been the best fun going to Mallorca in Spain. I've got friends that have worked on it, obviously, and they had the best time.
Yeah, I bet.
But so your show was brilliant.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Is it going to keep going? What's the story?
We've got a few more episodes to record. I'm not sure if it will keep going. We kind of, the first season was chatting to reality TV stars, and we were kind of finding that they were all sort of talking the same way, that they didn't want to kind of reveal any negative sort of experiences, because especially the Bachelor ones, I think because they don't want to piss off the show or the network, because there's always a chance that you might get back in there in that mansion, like with Bachelor in Paradise and all. I think it's sort of like this game that doesn't end, where you just keep smiling.
Because they've constantly got PR people in their ear from the networks who are really old school PR people.
Yeah.
And they, don't say this, don't say that. You know, if you ever want to be invited to any Channel 9, Channel 7, Channel 10 parties ever again, or you ever want to be on another show, you better not say this or you better not say that.
And also, I guess they're trying to maintain their own brands of social media numbers where, like, I mean, if it's a couple where they're together, their value is more if they stay together than if they separate. Mm. And I don't know. I think chatting to the crew, the producers, and that they're the ones that I've got a lot of insight out of, and interesting comments about how, like, produced it is. And I think watching reality TV these days, I don't know how we still let them get away with it. Like last week on The Bachelor, we had three bullies that were all left the mansion at the same time. And then one of them on Kyle and Jackie O show came out that she was a paid actress, that she was kind of
cast. That wasn't Romy.
What's her name? Yeah, Romy.
Was it Romy? Well, yep. I know Romy. She's my friend and she is an actress. And it said on the actual show that she was a fashion photographer, producer.
Director,
which I think she'd done part-time. But I mean, every actor in Australia has to have a part-time job. It's not as much work here, or anyone that's not Nicole Kidman or Noni Hazelhurst.
Yep.
Incidentally, I'm on a show with her on Sunday night at 7 p.m. Please call home. Thank you very much.
Oh, yes. I'm going to have to set the timer for that to record. But, nothing against Romy. Like, she's obviously, that's her job. She's doing her job. But the producers can manipulate the storyline. Like, it's about control. They need someone in there that they've given directive to. Perhaps even lines scripted to say.
Someone that'll make the show awesome.
Yeah.
Like, if Big Brother Australia, we just let them go and we wouldn't tell them what to say. But Big Brother UK, US and Canada that you were on, the actual producers, not Big Brother, the producers speak to the housemates and say, can you go in there and do this? Can you just say this for us now? We'll use it in the promo. And it just takes away that third wall, and it takes away the rawness of someone just living in a house, which is a shame. Because that was
the social experiment that was Big Brother. Yeah. Mm. I think it's kind of sad now that they're more worried about creating the storyline and controlling what entertainment we get rather than, I don't know, let it happen naturally. Like,
what's your favorite reality show at the moment? Do you have one? Because The Bachelor is a crock of shit. I'm sorry.
No one
talks like that on a date. And you can even see with the... What's he called, the guy on there at the moment? The weasel?
Honey Badger,
the Honey Badger. Like, he looks like a nice guy, you know, and you can tell that they're putting words in his mouth and telling him to say shit that's just not him. And it just looks completely awkward.
Yeah, I hope...
The public know that.
Well, I hope that we start doing something. Like, it's protest. Can I protest The Bachelor?
Yes,
like,
we're protesting.
Like, I had Mamma Mia call me this morning and say, what's your comment on the latest Bachelor stunt? One of the girls came out as bisexual. And that's not in itself that shocking, but...
10 years ago, maybe, not now.
Well, they said that it was the way that the show presented it, that she had to sit down and come clean with the honey badger because there was something from her past that might jeopardise the relationship. Mm. And that was that she'd seen girls and with dramatic music and then after the ad break.
It's just so annoying.
It's someone's sexuality and it's not something to be exploited for a ratings bonanza.
Well, I'm sure that the producers would see it another way. But yes, by all means. They would have auditioned her and they would have gone, you know what? We need to get this girl to say that she was bisexual in her past and we can, after the break, she will reveal all.
Well, do you know what the sad thing is? And this is unconfirmed, but I think it is, it was about a month ago, one of Ash's good friends who's a lesbian said, my partner's just broken up with me. She's just been cast on The Bachelor. Mm. They're going to make her look straight and then she's going to come out as bisexual, right. But she's actually a lesbian.
So you knew this before it happened?
Yes. Right. And the fact that producers had someone in their back pocket that they could pull out at any time, the sexuality card. And I think I'm not questioning... That might not be her.
It's entertainment.
And it's sexuality so personal and complicated. Maybe she is bisexual or maybe she's pansexual. But... I don't know, on a show where I think it is very heteronormative and we're trying to find true love, she made the comment of, oh, I've been with girls in the past, but I really want to have kids one day, so that's why I'm ready to make it, I'll treat it seriously with you, Nick.
Hello? But she wasn't really.
Lesbians can have kids. Like, it's just reinforcing that heteronormative, you have to be with male, female to have kids, and that it's a weird... way to present someone coming out as bisexual.
What about Married at First Sight? What do you think of that?
Don't watch it.
Crock of shit.
I wouldn't ever watch the dating shows, but I guess personally, I it's for that reason. I find it really offensive.
The producers of Married at First Sight, I'm surprised they haven't been sued because you've got people who clearly aren't perfectly matched.
Yeah.
It's car crash TV. Let's tell people that we matched them up on a computer and we got the best matchmaker people and clinical psychologists to figure out who they'd be perfect for and actually set them up with complete morons that do not match them in any way, shape or form whatsoever. Then sit them in a room and film it and have a psychologist go out of a brain trying to sort shit out.
All I watch is, I saw Change My World. Oh, sorry. I got excited. Ryan Murphy's new series Pose.
Oh, really?
I just love it because it's if you're into RuPaul's Drag Race, and you know about that New York drag scene. I think it was the 80s where it was like they were the rejected. It was the AIDS epidemic and that community LGBT people. It's a great show. It's on Showcase Foxtel and it's just that 80s drag scene where they'd run these balls and they'd kind of like just get dressed up and walk the runway. It's basically what RuPaul, because he was from that scene in New York, he made RuPaul's Drag Race based on that scene.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, it's really...
funny?
The soundtrack is amazing. Oh, it's not much funny, but yeah. But you know what? All I really watch, and this is no word of a lie, an episode a day, Golden Girls.
The Golden Girls.
I can't get enough.
I never would have pictured you for a Golden Girls fan.
I know. Most people like sit down on the couch with their partner and watch Game of Thrones or Black Mirror.
Black Mirror is awesome.
That would send me nuts.
Jack Ryan as well. That's a new one on Amazon. Do you watch Amazon Prime?
Amazon
Prime has got some great shows. The Amazing Miss Maisel, The Looming Tower.
Give me the Golden Girls any day. It's a simpler time. There's standalone episodes. You don't have to, like, you know, cliffhanger to the next one. Yeah, it was 80s and 90s. What's funny is when I was younger, like, we weren't allowed to watch it. I can remember Mum saying, no, you're not allowed to watch that. There's too many adult
You're not allowed to watch The Golden Girls.
Yeah, but it is quite progressive.
Yeah.
Blanche is a slut.
Well, really? But so there's things now that when you're older, shaming. You pick up on it now you're older. But when you're a kid, you didn't really know Blanche was a whore.
Yeah, no, I didn't know. But, like, good on her. She's like a widower and she just is enjoying life as a 60-year-old. Go get her.
From the Golden Girls to the Goldman Girls, this has been On The Mic with the legendary Tim Dormer, winner of Big Brother, third in Canada Big Brother, second on Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah, one, two, three.
And winning at life. Congratulations on your engagement. Good luck with the marriage.
Thank you.
And really excited about what's coming up with you for the future, buddy. We'll be watching.
Loving life.
Let's get you back here again and talk more.
Oh, I'd love it. Yeah. Let's do the shark diving.
Oh, we're doing that. Rodney Fox shark diving is happening. I'm sending them this.
I'm not the sort of person that pulls someone out of the mouth of a shark, though. So, like, don't think I'm going to return that favor. I'll be keeping my hands inside the cage this time,
definitely.
You'll be pulling me inside the cage. But
there's this one-man cage, which is really scary. If you're interested, we'll put you in the one-man cage. It's got a gap at the front this big because it's made for a big, big camera. And I got in there with my little tiny on these huge things. We'll talk more about that.
Yes.
And that is coming up in a future episode. And actually, we can make it. We'll sell it to Netflix. Let's do it.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Timmy. Love you, buddy.
Thank you. Oh, that was good.